You're listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Hello and welcome to another installment of the Hour of Power radio program, hosted by Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr. We're glad you could join us this morning as we delve into the Word of God. So prepare your hearts, prepare your minds, and grab a Bible. Now here's your host, Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr.
Well, good evening. We thank you for listening to our broadcast. I would like to take a moment and invite you to our Christ in the Marketplace conference, and that's going to be this October, the month of October, on the 11th, 12th, and 13th. Our theme for this year is God's end time plan for the marketplace. I really believe that God wants us to possess the top of the mountains, or the top of the mountain of business, so we can influence society, culture through the marketplace. You know, a mountain is an elevated place, and you can look at it as a platform, and a lot of ungodly businesses and corporations at the top of this mountain are using this platform to push ungodly wickedness upon our society, and they're going after our children. Their goal is to change the culture of this society from godliness to ungodliness. We might not have the platforms yet to compete with a lot of these ungodly corporations, but we do have the money that feed these ungodly corporations. You know, I did about 4 years in the military, and they had this old saying that if you hit them in the pocket where it hurts. And so we see now that conservatives and Christian people are starting to take their money and to take it elsewhere. To restrain from going to certain businesses that are pushing these worldly, ungodly agendas. These corporations are using their platforms to launch and relaunch wickedness and ungodly agendas. Fighting, a mountain is an elevated place. And fighting from an elevated position, holding the high ground, offers advantages. And so I want to invite you to come out. You know, we just can't sit back and say that ministries should not talk about money, especially when the Canadian government confiscated the people money to end the protests against the government. You know, when the government can do the wrong thing and then, forbid us to protest, this should be a wake-up call. And so I want to invite you to Christ in the Marketplace Conference. 250 North Babcock, that's Florida, and that's October the 11th, 12th, and 13th. We're going to be starting at 7:30, but we're going to fight our way up to the top of the mountain of business, the mountain of economics, and so I want to see you there. God bless.
Hello, and thank you so much for tuning in. You're listening today to Kingdom Sounds. We are the radio broadcast ministry of Victory International Praise Ministries. We're located at 250 North Babcock Street in the beautiful city of Melbourne, Florida. God bless you today. We thank you so much for listening to us faithfully every Monday through Friday right here at 6 p.m. Thank you to our wonderful pastors, Pastor Thomas Robinson, Pastor Teresa Robinson. Today, I'm your host, Minister Andre Jordan, sitting in the studio, just excited about the goodness of the Lord and another day to give him glory, to give him praise, and to make Jesus known in the earth. Thank you so much for tuning in to the broadcast. Today, we're talking from a very familiar passage of Scripture. Much of the Word of God is, when we've been saved a long time, we know the Word. The question becomes, do we live and do the Word? So it's not enough to have head knowledge and lip service, but God wants us to live the Word of God. God wants us to be a representation and demonstration of Christ Jesus in the earth. Now, let me pray and let's jump in, because as you can see, I'm excited about the Lord today. Love Him, love Him, love Him. Father, we thank You, we bless and we praise You. Thank You for life, health, strength, and today. Father, we just bless Your name. Help us as we seek to grow in the knowledge of God and the knowledge of Your Word to become all that You have predestined us to be, to live for You, to live out the Word, to be Christ in the earth, Father, to do Your will, to make Your will our own. We pray, Holy Spirit, bless this time in the Word. Illuminate the Word. Let it come alive in our hearts. Let it change us. Let it transform us. Let it draw us closer and nearer to You and Your will for our life. We pray and we ask in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you once again. I love it. Love the opportunity to be here to share God with His people and to hopefully invite someone to receive Christ today. We're going to look at, to begin with, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture. 1 John 2:15, would you turn with me in your Bibles if you can, or if you have the ability to pull it up on your phone. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. And it reads, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Love not the world. Who do you love? Let's let that be our topic today. Who do you love? What do you love? Who do you love? What do you love? Tina Turner made the song, What's Love Got to Do With It? Let me say this today. Love has everything to do with it. Who and what you love is going to make itself known. It's going to be clear to us by what you do and what you say. Who do you love is what we're asking today. The scripture tells us, let me read this again. Love not the world. Do not love this world. Neither the things that are in the world. Do not love the things that the world offers to you. For if any man loves the world, for if and when you love the world, I want to paraphrase and add in parentheses my own, more than God, the love of the Father, the love of God is not in you. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, for this is what is in the world. The world offers only a craving for physical pleasures. The lust of the flesh, a craving for physical pleasure. That's what the world has to offer you. The pride of life, a craving for everything that we see, and pride for our accomplishments and possessions. The love of the Father is not in the world. It tells us in verse 17, the world passes away and the lust of the world there is. The world is fading away now, along with everything that people crave. It's fading away. It's temporal. It's not eternal. It says, but he that does the will of the Father abides forever. But anybody who does what pleases the Father will live forever in eternity. Who do you love? What do you love? That is our topic today. Let's talk about it from the scriptures. Let's let the scriptures be the measuring and the plumb line. Let's let the scriptures be the standard and speak to our hearts. Father, speak to our hearts with this word. Open our eyes. Let me see clearly. Who do you love? What do you love? Love not the world and the things of the world. Let's go a little further. This scripture speaks to me. This scripture says, take inventory. Maybe you don't know, but maybe you love the world. Maybe you didn't realize it. Maybe it snuck into your heart. One thought comes to mind when we think about Abraham and Lot and how the Lord called Abraham to leave his kindred to go where he would show him. And Abraham obeyed God, but he also brought his nephew. And the instructions were to leave your kindred, but he brought his nephew. His nephew Lot perhaps had a soft spot in his heart. And we look at Lot out of that passage of scripture, and it was Lot that looked at the luscious part of the region of the world. And Lot says, my gosh, this looks green and luscious and plentiful to the natural eye. In the natural, externally, it looked like it was had everything going on. And after a while, when we see that God came to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot was living in the city. Love not the world. The world has a magnetic pull on you. A demonic magnetic pull on you. It wants to pull you away from your love, your first love, the true and living God. Love not the world. I declare to you today, I beseech you there today, I plead and implore with you today, love not the world nor the things of the world. Don't love the lusty craving for the pleasures of this world, the pleasures of this life, the greed and the craving for the things of this natural physical world that are falling away and fading away and that are temporal. Oh, let's move on to another scripture. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. I tell you that love not the world just is sticking with me. First Timothy 6, 10. Let me go up to verse 8. Let me go up to verse 6, excuse me. It says, so I'm going to clarify. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain, is very valuable, is great wealth, is worth something. It has value. Godliness. Living a life that pleases God, living a holy, righteous life, pleases God with contentment. Those things have great value, have great wealth. Verse 7, for we brought nothing into the world. True godly living with contentment is great wealth of great value. For we brought nothing into the world, none of us. We brought nothing in us when we came into the earth realm. And it's certain we will take nothing, can carry nothing from this world. We can't take anything with us when we leave it. We see that time and time again. I actually went to a funeral last Saturday. My relative brought nothing when he came and was born into the earth realm, and when my nephew left, he could take nothing with him, and neither can I, and neither can you. That is clear, that is true. Verse 8 says, having food and clothing, having the necessities of life. Sometimes we say today, food, clothing, and shelter, transportation, having the necessities of life. The scripture tells us, let us be content. Let us be content. Remember our topic. Who do you love? What do you love? Now we're adding, be content. Would you be content today? Could you say today, God, I thank you. I'm content. Let's go a little further. Verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation. They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. But people who long to be rich, are you longing to be rich, or have you recognized the great wealth that 1 Timothy 6 and 6 told us about? Are you longing? Are you one that longs to be rich according to the way the world describes riches or success or fame? The scripture told us true godliness that pleases the Lord with contentment is great gain, is great wealth, is great value. Verse 9, but they that will or long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful snares or desires. May I say today to me and to you, don't get trapped. They that long to be rich will fall into the snare and the trap and the temptation of many foolish and harmful desires. Many fell. They drown men in destruction and perdition. These foolish desires, these harmful desires, plunge. You know, when you plunge, it's almost like falling off of a cliff. You fall head first, headlong, and ruin them and bring destruction to their lives. Warning, warning, caution light, warning. Stop before you hit the red light. Press the brakes. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. Godliness, true godliness and contentment, great wealth, great value. Recognize the riches that God has already given you. Recognize and value what God values. Who do you love? Do you recognize and value and love the things of God? Do you recognize and value and love what God loves? What his word says? Verse 10, where we're trying to get to. For the love of money, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. For the love of money, love not the world, neither the things of the world. Now, 1 Timothy 6 is telling us, don't love money. Let me read the whole passage and let's come back and dissect that a little bit more. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, which while some have coveted, craving money, they have wandered or erred from the faith. They've wandered from the true faith in Jesus Christ. They have pierced themselves with many sorrows. We've got to be alert and sober-minded and on guard for the snares and the tricks and the tactics of the enemy. We've got to be on guard. Satan is looking for an open door. And we, through the word of God, got to man our doors, windows, gates. We've got to be diligent to man the gates and the doors that give entrance to our heart. Because Satan is trying to penetrate our heart. Because guess what? If he can get on the inside, oh, he can work his will to the outside through us. So we've got to be. So let me go back to the scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, and it says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Let me just clarify a minute. Money is not the root of all kinds of evil. Money is a tool. Money has a purpose. Money provides for necessities in the earth realm. It's a tool and a transaction and business and trade. Money is fine. So the scripture does not have a problem with money. The scripture has a problem with anything. Who do you love? What do you love? Anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, that exalts itself against the love of God. We're called every day to examine our hearts, to make sure our hearts are prioritizing the Lord Jesus Christ. We have one God, one Lord, one Savior of all. Is he the priority of our life? We got to ask ourselves, is God the priority of our life? Is there anything I love more than God? We've got to be honest. We got to ask these questions, ask ourselves the hard questions, but we got to be honest. Let's look at one more passage of scripture, time permitting. But from this passage, godliness, true godliness, living godly before the Lord with contentment is our goal, is our aim, is our desire. Not craving after the things of the world, not craving to be rich. But if we would guard our heart from the infestation of the enemy, from the infestation of discontentment that the enemy tries to put in our hearts, unsatisfaction, discontent, murmuring, complaining, grumbling, unsatisfied. But God is like godly living, true godliness with contentment, thanking God for provision for our necessities of life, knowing that He will take care of us. Consider the lilies of the field, how they toil and they sow not. They don't work, they don't reap, they don't have a job, but to give God glory. Shall not our Heavenly Father much more take care of us? Yes, He will. Let's turn to the book of Matthew. Let's go to Matthew 6. Just enjoying the word and enjoying the Lord and just thanking God for how He comes in and reminds us, who do you love today? Who do you really love? Sometimes with our lips we'll say, I love the Lord. He's the head of my life. He's first, but is He? If we investigate the evidence, will we find that the actions, the deeds, our life mirror what our lips say? Or are we people of lip service? Are we people that the actions provide the evidence and the proof? The proof is in the evidence. The proof is in the actions. Or are we merely giving lip service today? Let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 6. And I'm looking at verse 19. It says, lay not up treasures here on earth. Don't store treasures here on earth. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth. Don't store your treasure here on earth, where moth and rust will corrupt them, will destroy them. Or here on earth, it's not uncommon for a thief to break in and steal. Don't store your treasures here on earth. Yet, if we're honest, very frequently that's what we do. I'm building, amassing a whole bunch of wealth here on earth. Our time here is limited. We saw in the scripture, the rich man that says, I'll build bigger barns. My barns are stuffed. I can't get another dollar bill in these barns. I tell you what I'll do. I'll build bigger barns. The Lord is like, that is not my heart. Whose heart is that? Who do you love? That sounds like the heart of the world. Let's read this passage in Matthew 6. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust can corrupt and destroy what you're storing up, your treasures, and where thieves do not, cannot break in and steal. Not in heaven, y'all. Not in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. For where your treasure is, wherever you prioritize, place, value, treasure, your heart is there. Your heart is there. This message is about examining where your heart is. Where is the location of your heart? Where is the location of your heart? For where your treasures are, where you put your value, where you store your treasures, that's where we will find your heart also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye has become single, your body will be filled with light. The light of the Lord is what it's talking about. But if your eye is evil, if your eye has become corrupted, if the enemy has invaded, if the enemy has infested you, then the whole body will be full of his darkness, because the enemy dwells in the kingdom of darkness. So he cannot bring the light of God to us, to you and to I. But he can only bring evil. He can only bring darkness, because that is who he is. Therefore, if the light that is in us is dark, how great, gross darkness. That darkness is deep darkness, gross darkness. Verse 24. No man, no human, no woman, no boy, no girl can serve two masters. It cannot be done. The scripture made it clear. For where your treasure is, that is where we'll find our heart. So we got to ask ourselves today, what are we treasuring? Who do you love? What do you love? Where the treasure are, you can follow the breadcrumbs to where your heart is. Don't listen to what people say. No. Follow the trail. Where the treasure is, that's where the heart is. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and the spirit of money, mammon, the world. You cannot. You cannot. You cannot do it. We think we can do it, but you cannot serve God and money, wealth, greed. It's almost like mammon represents a false deity of worshiping money and the world and wealth and greed and the things of the world. You cannot do it. So let us examine our hearts today. Thank you, Jesus, for this word. You're giving us instruction of to treasure God above all. And I pray in the name of Jesus that we do, that we come back to our first love, that we not find ourselves like the seven churches in the book of Revelation, where there were good things Jesus said, had to say. There were things he had to challenge us on. Today he's challenging us to examine our hearts, to make sure Christ is first, that the Lord is first. Who do you love today? What do you love today? I pray in the name of Jesus that we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we don't know him in the pardon of our sins, all we have to do is confess our sins, invite him in, receive him as Savior. Ask him, Lord, save me. And he will. He's happy to. We turn from our wicked ways. We acknowledge him, his death, his burial, his resurrection. Acknowledge and accept him as Lord of our life and give him our heart, receive him, make an exchange with him. Our filthy, nasty, sin-sick life in exchange for what Jesus did on the cross at Calvary. I pray today that you're encouraged by the word of God and the love of God. And I pray today that this word challenged each of us to examine our hearts, to make sure that we're in alignment with the word of God and that nothing comes before our love of Jesus Christ. May you walk today in victory. May you walk today in the blessing.